Hey everyone, this is Mark, T-Dubs, and Dougie Fresh with Locker Room Access. If you're enjoying listening to our podcast, please check out the Jay Willie Show with Coach Jason Williford and some surprise guests. In addition to that, we have launched our first football podcast with Tony Covington and Ahmad Hawkins as the host. T-Dubs, what do you think?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think they picked a name. It's going to be The Lockdown with T-Cub and Hawk. And the first guest is Jake McGee, which is going to be awesome. That'll probably post here in the next day or two, so look out for that one. And then Gus Gerard was just on. He was. I mean, it's a long one, but man, he was so good. His whole life story, I had no idea. So for you historians out there, you might want to check that one out.
I've heard some people say that that's the best podcast that they've listened to.
Heck, it's hard. I don't know. This, you know, Kihei and his dad coming up here, he's going to rival that one for sure.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good. It was fun really to have father and son on for me.
I love
it. And Ahmad Hawkins was really, really good. His story is awesome. And he's so transparent.
Yeah. Fresh, you jumped off of this one. So what did you want to ask him then?
What I love about Kihei, man, is, you know, he's one of those guys that's going to be doubted and questioned. What I wanted to ask him was, when did he realize and change his game last season when he was kind of over-penetrating, getting to the basket with nothing to do, and he started dribbling out of that trouble or stopping short of it and making decisions earlier? And, you know, just his newfound look, kind of like a little different shot, his three-point shot, hitting that dagger against Virginia Tech. He's really tweaked and improved things that he needed to improve to become an elite point guard.
Yeah, we definitely talk about that. So you'll like this one.
Yeah, I can't wait. I wish I could have done that thing. And the Gus, I'm getting so much great feedback. His guys absolutely love him from his era. And I think now that's spreading to our generation where we all love the guy.
Yeah.
And he just loves talking hoops, man. He loves talking life.
Yeah, Justin called the other day and was just like, oh my God, that Gus Gerard podcast. It was just like, that thing was incredible. So definitely think it's not just us.
His stories flow so organically and so smoothly from one story to the next. And he did it again on the Jay Willie Show. We had him on the Jay Willie Show. And he started talking about something and he went right into M.O. Carr being a snitch. And it's so funny. He's so good. I really can't wait to get to meet him in person.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny to have the ML Carr connection from Gus saying that to Junior Burrow, essentially saying ML Carr cost him his NBA career as his coach.
That's true. Good point.
A lot of Wahoo connections there. Sorry, ML.
That's awesome. Well, enjoy this one. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, who you want to see next, hit us up in the forum. I have all the links in the description.
Now joining us, special guests, father and son, Malik and Kihei Clark. Thanks for joining, guys. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having us.
Yep. Thanks for having us. Everybody's fine.
We appreciate you guys joining us.
Yeah. So I think we're going to do similar to how we had Brian Stith, right, T-Dubs?
Yeah.
We're going to do the photo series and go through it that way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, this is a special opportunity for us, so we want to – treat you like the GOAT Brian Stith. So let's jump into it. So what we do is we'll show some photos and we'll just talk about them for a minute, especially, and we'll just jump right into it. It's kind of a chronological order here. This first one, this is Basketball Spotlight.
Oh, my man, Mike
Melton, future phenoms. First photo on here, Remy Martin was ultra smooth. And then you scroll down, there's a man right there, Kihei Clark, Reseda, California. And below that, LaMelo Ball. What do you remember about this? Do you remember even looking at this? Or
this shot was crazy. It was like all the way behind his head. It was crazy. But yeah, I remember those days though. That was a fun time. Our camp.
You guys came from California to come play in his tournament? Is that what it was? Or he had a camp?
No, it's called
Cal Nike Challenge, right?
Yeah. Wasn't it Cal Supreme camp?
I guess Cal Supreme was sponsoring it for
younger. Oh, so, okay. All right. This guy on the East Coast, Mike Melton, does a very similar one. Is this the one where the guy wrote that book, Play Their Hearts Out? Did he run this? The Phenom?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I remember that book, though.
Yeah, that book was intense. Look at the crew of guys on this.
Yeah.
Damon Harge, Key. Look at you.
So at this point, obviously we know about your relationship with Remy. What, at what point is this for you guys? Like,
no,
in terms of your relationship.
We were good friends already. Just
The date is November 16th, 2010.
Oh, that was probably like, probably known him for like maybe a few years though, maybe like 2 years.
Just hitting the circuit, part of the circuit, getting out there and trying to find out where the top talent was and just playing against the best that was out there. And I mean, it's the same guys all the way through. So
right, right. And then, and what was that like for you as a dad watching Kihei come up through this? Like, I know, you know, people talked about how tough you were on him, but maybe talk about that a little bit.
It was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, obviously we fathers, I don't know about you, Mark, but to me, father son relationship coaching is probably one of the toughest things that I've done. But I was happy. I enjoyed it all the way through. You know, people say you're living through your kid. And for me, I was like, well, why not? I enjoy it. He enjoys it. You live through your kid if he becomes a doctor or a lawyer.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a great time, and it just got better.
I was gonna say you played as well. When you look back, did you have a little bit of I wish I had this kind of training when I was this age, and you kind of instilled that on Kihei or no?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Malik, yeah. Where'd you play?
Yeah, I played.
Where'd you play?
Oh, I went to College of the Canyons, a junior college, and then transferred over to Hawaii Hilo.
Yep. And so what were you thinking when you were training him? Was there certain specific skill sets that you wanted him to have that maybe you didn't have?
Yeah, I wanted him to be able to handle the ball really well. He pretty much had everything I had already at an early age. I think kids are more developed these days than we were back then. So, but
what age did you coach him?
Well, I always thought it was important that he played for a lot of people, not just me. So he played for me some, and then he played for a couple different guys, but all the way from 8 years old till he got to high school. Once he got to high school, I cut him loose.
What was the difference, Kihei, in your dad coaching you and the other guys coaching you?
He was definitely the most hard on me. But I know it was just love. We definitely bumped heads a couple times, but that's just the father son, I feel like. But he always wanted the best for me. And I mean, he let me go, so he was one of the best coaches I ever had.
That's awesome.
What, before we move on to the next photo, what do you think your dad gave you more than any other coach, or what do you think the most valuable thing that your dad gave you in terms of skill set on the court and off?
I think he kind of instilled in me like the defensive part of it, being a small guard from an early age. I really worked on my defense, and he had me doing slides and around the court, figure eights around the court as a young age. I remember those days. So defensively, he really instilled in me in that, and just taking care of the ball and just trying to instill in me how to be a good point guard, I feel like, from an early age. And then off the court, I mean, you know, that's a father figure. He's taught me almost everything in life, how to be a man, and just he's taught me how to grow up.
What about one-on-one games between y'all? How are those?
You want to talk about that?
Who won last?
I did.
What about the dunk ball game?
I don't remember that. I remember one.
Hold on. When was the last time you guys played one on one? And Malik, I'm going with you. If you say you won, I'm believing that.
I mean, to be honest with you, Mark, I mean, we haven't played seriously probably in a while. Yeah. Goofing around, I, you know.
People always ask me, at what age did Ty beat you? And I say, he still hasn't. So I don't know how that works for you.
You're probably better than I was then. Because Kihei probably crossed that threshold long time ago.
And I read like he didn't really
out from the top of the key. I just dribble till he gets tired.
I like it. I was going to say, I read that you really didn't get started serious about basketball till you were around 8. Is that?
Yeah, correct.
And what do you mean by serious in terms of like getting training and not just being in the backyard shooting around?
Yeah, when I was little, I played soccer. I did karate. I would still do basketball, but I kind of just at 8 years old, I really focused on basketball just mainly. And we started working out every day from that point on. So that's why I say 8 years old.
But hold on a second. T-Dubs, the way you phrased that question, didn't get serious, like as if you said it like as if 8 years old is late. Right? And in some ways
– it is. Yeah.
I know. It is crazy, right, that kids are 8 years old and starting to get so serious. So that means like people, if you're saying didn't get started serious until 8, like so we're saying – people are doing this at 6 years old, doing drills, doing running up and down the court, and they're really working on their skill development at high levels.
It's crazy. Right? My kid's 3. He's way behind at 3. I'm just telling you.
You got to get him going, T-Dubs.
Like his hesitation, like he can't – his left is terrible. Anyway, we're going to work on it.
With the hair, are you planning to get braids again, like in this picture?
Yeah, this is
– Yeah, I want to braid it.
It looks good in that picture.
You look tough in that picture, boy. I wouldn't mess with that kid.
As soon as school starts, I'm gonna get a cut though. So
no.
Yeah.
No, come on, man. Get some cornrows. Get some braids. That looks good.
It's better than not going for that.
Oh man, he's changing. He's adapting. And right on cue.
Right on cue.
Coach Bennett. What this is a photo. What was this like on an official? Like what room is this in?
No, he actually came out he visited me. That's at my high school. He came out and watched the practice, and I finally got to talk to him in person. So that was the first time I met him.
And what did you guys – what was that interaction like? Because obviously you've had some communication before, but
– No, yeah, that was he kind of just – he came. He wanted to watch me. And then my dad actually couldn't make it. But my mom was able to come. So it was me, him, and my mom in that little office, steamy office. It smelled terrible. But we kind of just talked about, like, he talked about Virginia. I wasn't committed at the time. That's kind of where we kind of kindled our first relationship. And we kind of just talked about my growth and what he sees in me and how I could develop as a player at Virginia.
When was this?
I don't even.
What, I mean, was this like your senior year or your junior year?
It was my senior year. It was my senior year.
And for you, I mean, Mark, you always talked about when you got the offer, you were so excited. What about you, Mel? Like when you heard Virginia, well, I mean, obviously that's a long ways from home, so I imagine that you're not too thrilled about that. But what were your thoughts?
I was ecstatic. I almost brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, that's what Mark said.
My eyes got a little watery from the sweat. No, that's
it was a bug. It was a bug that flew in there. That's all.
For sure. Just because, you know, Kihei been like from that young age, you had that picture. He'd been playing against, you know, all the top guys all over the country, going to nationals as a youngster, and then playing against older guys. AAU, and he just had a tough route. It was just hard to get offers, but he always did what he does against everybody.
Right.
But, you know, some of the bigger schools didn't come along, and I know that's what he wanted. So when it finally came along, you know, I was pretty happy.
So what was it about UC Davis, because that's not too far from where I am in the Bay, that drew you eventually to that?
Well, I only had a couple offers at the time, and we kind of were just being realistic. I had UC Davis. I had Xavier was probably my biggest school, my offer, and they told me if I went there, they would honor it. they would honor the scholarship, but I probably wouldn't play. So, I mean, obviously that didn't sit well with me. So I just turned the other way. But Coach Les, I created a great relationship with Coach Les. He played in the NBA as well. I think he played against Tony, Coach Bennett, or during the same time, I think. But he was a point guard in the NBA. So what better player to learn from? He played at the highest level. So, the way they ran their offense, they did a lot of pick and roll too. So it was kind of just a good situation for me, and it was a great academic school too.
Who was that Xavier that told you that? Who was the head coach? Coach Mack?
I believe so. Hey, it is what it is. I think the height kind of was a deciding factor in that. But hey, it is what it is.
Have you seen him since then? He told you wouldn't play?
After our first year, after that game we played him, he shot me a text and just congratulated me, said how much he liked my game and how well I played and stuff. It was actually pretty fun. But he's a good dude.
That's awesome.
Good dude who just didn't judge basketball talent well.
Right. I think he let the bias and other people persuade his decision. That's what he told me. But
I
with Coach Murray, the assistant coach over there. Once I decommitted from UC Davis, he kind of put my name out there and tried to give me a couple looks from other schools. So
okay, that's cool.
They're good people. All in all, they're good people. They just actually the way it turned out. Look how it turned out. He wouldn't have even been there anyway.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
This next one. This is you in the All-Star game in the Philippines, was it?
Yep.
That was the question I had for you. So we had a post the other day, and someone said, I'm waiting for an Asian point guard to come to Virginia. And I'm like, what? Like, have you not looked on the court? Like, we have one right now. But then – and he pointed to your Instagram and said, no, he said he's black. So that was the thing – and I talked to your dad about this. You've got Chinese, you've got black, you've got – like, you represent so many things on the court. Like, it's – do you think about that at all, or do you just – because you're in Cali, you're just a melting pot?
No, I definitely know that, and I definitely acknowledge the cultures that I represent. I actually did an interview on Instagram Live yesterday for the Phil-Am Nations, for Filipinos. It means a lot. I mean, I know I have a lot of support out there. And, so when I went out there and I was able to kind of just put my name out there and kind of build my brand a little bit, it meant a lot.
And then the Chinese part. So I'll tell a little story about myself. As an Asian kid in the 80s in Charlottesville, basketball was not an option. Like, it wasn't like I wasn't the type of person that was going to be like the forefront of something like that. There was no Jeremy Lin. There was no Kihei Clark to like guide me and show me that I could do it. And it was like hard just thinking to go on the playground to play. I like, let alone do it at the level that you're doing. It makes me so proud. You being that's a lot of responsibility. Like, you're representing, you know, California, you're representing Hawaii, you're representing the Philippines, you're representing Chinese, you're representing Asian people, shorter people. Like, I know you're just on the court doing your thing, but like, that's a lot to, you know, have on your shoulders. And you're more like, everything I've seen, you're more than likely to handle it. But at times are you like, yo, it's a little much. I don't want to think about that. Or are you just willing, like, you're the type of dude that's going to just take it all on?
I mean, I don't always have it in the back of my mind, but when I do have time to think about it, I do acknowledge it. But when I'm on the court, I kind of just play freely and just trust in myself. But I know behind me I have a lot of backup and a lot of support. So it kind of just drives me. I have a lot of fan love out there.
You're representing a lot of people. What about you? For you, man, like, as you see, you hear that stuff, right? You know from the different backgrounds. Like, especially today's culture with race being on the forefront, everyone talks about, oh, I want to be blind to racism. But then you support someone who looks like you naturally, right? It's just like, that's part of it. What does that mean to you to hear that support?
He has a big following in the Philippines and stuff like that. But I think another place where people don't really realize, because his mom's from Hawaii, like his following out there is huge. But I think, so like when we went out there for the tournament in high school, like he got a lot of attention and stuff. And I think it's because, like you say, people see, they see somebody on the court with those giants and stuff, but the guy looks like you. You know, he's 5'9", he's got your complexion, he's Asian, you know, they can relate to that. And so, you know, that's really big out there, and that's probably why he has the followings that he does.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's awesome.
So can we get some clarity on this? So what is your ethnic background?
I'm Chinese, Filipino, and Black.
So your mom is?
Filipino.
Okay, and dad is Chinese and Black.
Born and raised in Hawaii, though. Isn't
she's like, yeah, we call her Filipino Hawaiian because right, she's right, full blood. Well, I guess she has a small trace of Hawaiian in her, but she's Filipino, raised in Hawaii. And I'm Chinese and Black, and I was raised out here.
So I think what's so unique about the last three UVA point guards, right, is the whole ethnicity thing. So you had London Parentis, and I can't tell you how many times people told me, that Puerto Rican guy, London Parentis, you know him. I was like, who are you talking about? And they would just say, that Puerto Rican player on UVA. I'm like, who are you talking about?
I know.
Right? That stuff's crazy. And then they would say, Ty's white. And like, London's mixed. London has a Black father and white mother. Ty, Black father or mixed father, whatever you want to say, and white mother. And now we got Kihei, Chinese, Filipino, and Black. Like, it's just unique to have that. It's really cool. Like, just having cultures coming together, representing, you know, the point guard and representing UVA and having a great blend is really cool. And I think some people are going to say, well, why does race matter? And why does this happen? People don't understand, like, for Black people weren't even allowed to play in basketball in the, right, in the NBA or college, right? Right? Weren't even allowed to play quarterback in the NFL right, until the 80s or 70s, whatever you want to say. So when we get behind somebody, sometimes it's because we were oppressed for so long. And same thing, right, like, how many Chinese players are in the NBA? How many Chinese? So when we see somebody, we're going to be supportive of them.
Right.
Right. And right, and actually for me, it's seeing somebody, anybody I'm going to be supportive of that's maybe not typical or like, so seeing a Chinese kid or Asian kid or Asian and Black kid for certain with that great mix, being supportive of somebody like that. And I think I'm hoping that people can understand what that means when they now ask the question, well, why, you know, what difference does it make? Well, it makes a difference.
Yeah. I thought about it when I heard that, and I was like, I can't imagine if I was a kid in Charlottesville being a huge Virginia fan, an Asian kid in Charlottesville, I was the only one in school. And to have someone like Kihei represent me, that'd give me so much confidence. So it's like, for that kid out there, like, this is, you know, I'm hoping they'll hear this. But we'll go to the next thing.
Yeah. Well, I know just in New York, I know how much support you have from Asian people here, because some of my peoples are like, are crazy about you, Kihei. But, you know, my Asian friends. So
this next photo, this is Coach Bennett jumping in the air. It's a little hard to tell when you get that 10-second call. And then here, this next image is him coming back and giving you five. What do you remember? Like, that's such an iconic moment. Do you remember?
Yep. I had the game before I broke my wrist.
Right.
I was in a cast. And this day the day before I was supposed to this was 2 days, but 2 days before I broke my wrist. And yesterday I was supposed to get get surgery. But I drank my shake. I drank a shake. It was like post lift. And I drank my shake, so I couldn't have surgery. So they put me in a cast and I tried to play. I went to practice. I practiced dribbling the ball with, they put some padding on it. But I just practiced it and they allowed me to play. And, I think this was a big moment. I think somebody just hit a three.
Ty, a little guy named Ty Jerome, I think.
I think Ty hit a three. And then I got the 10-second call, and I think it was a pivotal moment because it was a close game. I think we were losing with 5 minutes to go in the game, I think. So, it was a pretty fun game to be in.
I think that was the moment that people realized, you know, this is why you get so many minutes, right? Because there was a lot of questions, and that's another question. You saw that. You saw a lot, you know, the banter on whatever social media and stuff about you. Was that fuel for you? Like, how did you feel when you come off a game and see people talking about you like that?
I didn't hear it a lot of the time, but some people would tell me, like, oh, they're talking crazy on Twitter again and just stuff like that. I kind of just didn't pay much mind to it, but I definitely did hear it, but I didn't really care. I mean, I've heard it my whole life anyways, so just people doing it on social media was just another form of it, I feel like. So right. I kind of just went out and just played my game no matter what, and it worked out.
Yeah, let speak for itself.
Malik, do you remember the first game you were at? You were sitting behind me?
Yeah. Which game was that?
The
first game of the season, I think.
Towson.
Yeah. And your mother's is, I'll say she's quite passionate. Like, I was like, at halftime, I was looking for eardrums. I mean, ear blocks, right? Like, I was like, oh my God.
Dude, you gotta try sitting next to her, Mark.
I think that's what I just say all the time. I was like, Malik's sitting four seats away. I don't think it's because he doesn't love her. No. I'm telling you, in my ear, like, wow. She is passionate. But that was pretty cool, though, to have your mother. And I'm sure, like, being so far away and getting to come see your baby play college basketball game at the University of Virginia, right? And all the other things, like when you talk about fighting the height and fighting whatever the other stigmas about you not watching you play. Like, she gets a little bit of a pass, right? I just wish she wasn't behind me, but no. Yeah. I'm kidding. But after the game, I remember just having a really good conversation with you guys after that first game. I think Towson was the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and there was, you fit right into that UVA system with how, coming from such a humble family, uh-huh. right? The conversation I had with your dad, I was like, this kid's really clearly going to be a great kid and fit in here. Yeah, and I just was it was exciting, right? It was real exciting, and your mom was intense. One of the things I was going to say about the social media piece, I remember somebody writing something. I think it was a picture of the softball game, the annual coaches versus players softball game.
I remember the comment. No, I didn't write it.
I know you didn't write it. You know what comment I'm talking about, Kihei?
Yeah.
The one where they said, who's the little kid?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I got pissed. I know you're not supposed to answer Twitter. And I was like, and I said something. I was pissed off and I wrote something back. And Ty's like, Dad, you can't respond on Twitter. But I was so mad. I was like, that's just like the meanest thing somebody could say. I was furious. So, all right.
Here's this next photo. Everyone talks about that, the big whatever, the play. We did that extensively at the renewal. I'm not going to go into that. But that matchup against Purdue, this is a photo for people listening. This is a photo of you with the ball and Carson there was right next to you. Describe that game to us. Not just that one play. Everybody's going to talk about that one play. But right. that entire sequence where it was you and Dre trying to stop this guy that was just NBA Jam on fire. How was that?
No, I mean, his performance was top notch. He went 4 for 11 on me. I'm gonna go ahead and say that right now. 4 for 11. I'm not gonna say the other percentages on the other guys. But yeah, I mean the way he shot it, he kept him in the game. I mean, it was a hell of a performance. Hey, I'm luckily we pulled it out in the end, but just to be in that atmosphere and in the Elite Eight, it was pretty special.
I was going to say that when he banked in that three,
I was furious.
I was just going to say 4 for 11, and that includes that bank shot that I knew was coming off. I was watching
it. It was a terrible shot.
We're going to get the rebound. We're going to grab this.
Exactly. That's in my head. Oh yeah, that's no way he's hitting that, and he banks it in. I was pretty upset at that one.
That felt like, all right, maybe it's just not our night again. Like, you know, when someone banks one in like that, you're just like, come on, bro. Like, this is not fair. But then we still
– Hold on a second. But what was the advice or what was the coaching strategy that Bennett and all the other coaches were giving you about guarding him after a certain point when he was – when everybody just knew he was just like, okay, he's on fire. How do we stop him?
We knew he was on fire, and then in the second half, they put Dre on him to start the half, and they sat me down. And I think Dre just gave him a little bit too much space. I mean, you had to crowd him just so he couldn't get it off. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you can't poke him anywhere.
Right.
But I think once he hit a couple, and he kind of just caught a rhythm after that. And but I think just we tried to just get there as soon as we could and just try to put a hand up. I mean, they were running him off 3 screens, 4 screens. So just try to get in his hip pocket and chase him around and try to contest everything.
Malik, where was your head at during this game watching him do that? We talked a little bit after, but I mean, during this game, what were you thinking?
During the game, when he was on fire, I just thought, like, well, you know, like when a guy's that hot, now it just becomes defensively, it just becomes a mentality. Like, he's going to hit what he hits, but I got to be there and contest everything and bother him. And hopefully at the end of the game, those shots aren't falling for him. But I think, like, maybe 2 minutes left in the game, I was like, oh, this is over. It's been fun. And then, obviously, you know what happened. So.
And then, yeah, and after your big game with Oregon, like, how was your confidence coming into this game? Is it ultra high, or did it reset?
It was pretty high. I don't think I hit a shot this game besides the free throws at the end that to seal the game. I don't think I did, but my confidence was at an all time high after that Oregon game for sure.
Yeah, that you had a lot of big shots down the stretch. And Gardner Webb, we don't even talk about the one you hit that one
going to halftime.
That was huge.
Yeah, I think it cut it to 6.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of the turning point.
It was.
We got it to 6. We kind of knew, like, all right. And we kind of just
– arms reach at that point.
Yeah, we kind of just walked them down, and we took the lead. So, after that, it was a wrap.
You faced what's his name from Oregon? Gosh, what's that? I can't think of the kid's name.
Pritchard.
Then you had Carson Edwards, and then you had Jared Harper.
Wow. Yeah.
Those are 3 of the best point guards. And I don't know if Carson Edwards is a point guard, but you were still playing him, right? What was it going through your head? What was the strategy against Pritchard? What was the difference between all 3 guards, amongst all 3 guards?
Pritchard, I think he was the best point guard out of the 3, just the way he controlled the game, pretty much ran his team. Mm-hmm. With him, with every one of them, I think it's kind of the same. I mean, take up space, try to contest everything, and just slide your feet. Don't get beat. But I think it's pretty much the same off of every one of them. Just try to slide your feet and contest everything. With Pritchard, I didn't know how fast he was. He kind of shocked me a little bit. I think he got by me a couple times in the open court just because I didn't know how fast he was. And I knew Carson Edwards, he wasn't that flashy with the ball. He didn't have the handles like Pritchard did. So I know I could kind of slide with him a little bit. It's just his jump shot is so fast. You got to be there at all times. And with Jared Harper, I kind of just try to slide my feet as best as possible. I think I picked him one time, luckily, in the open court. But his athleticism, I think, is up there. With the 3, so it's kind of just different, and you guys got to learn their playing styles throughout the game. With that one day of preparation, it's not that easy to just get to know people. You know?
Did your dad? Did any coaches? What advice did they give you?
I mean, they just told me to do my job. I mean, I kind of did it throughout the whole year on different guys, so yeah. I knew what I was doing, and I kind of just did what I did against everybody else, to be honest.
And Malik, you from being so instilling that important value of defense at an early age, did you have conversations with Kihei throughout the season and this season as well? Maybe before a game? I know when I would like, and I would, Ty would play against, you know, whoever they were playing against the next day, and we'd have conversations the night before, and I would watch some film on some guys, and we'd have conversations. They say, yeah, I'm watching film now and preparing for the game tomorrow, and I would say, well, he goes left, he goes right, or, you know, who are you going to guard? Those are some of the conversations we had the night before.
I didn't really do too much of that. I think I kind of, like, throughout the whole year, not just, like, during the tournament. I don't think I ever talked to him during the tournament. But, like, throughout the whole year, you want to talk about a dad being on their kid. Like, when his wrist was broke, I was on him to shoot. So, I think since cutting him loose in high school, like, I mean, I tell him stuff and everything, but he pretty much – He coaches himself. I mean, I'm on him to score more just because I think he's more pass first. But for the most part, he coaches himself. And I try to – and I look for, like, I would say, like, confidence. I like him to always be super confident. That would be my main thing.
The other question I had in the tournament was, obviously, everyone harped on the UMBC thing, but you had nothing to do with it. But then when we're down 14, Gardner Webb, were you like, I mean, what's going through your mind at that point? Because all those guys are thinking back on last year, but you didn't have that. So,
no, I didn't. Yeah, you're right. I didn't have that. But you could definitely feel it in the air. Like, uh-oh, like, what's going on? But once we walked into the locker room, it was all we're good. It was no doubt in our mind that we were going to come back and walk them down. Coach Bennett did not come in screaming and yelling. He was super calm and composed. And I think just after halftime, we kind of just knew what we had to do. I mean,
I kind of thought that was a big game for Kihei. Maybe not offensively, but I thought he kind of sparked them a little bit defensively. By if you go back and watch the game, he was pretty disruptive on defense. Yeah. Not necessarily steals, but like contesting shots. And getting his hand on a couple loose balls, I thought was pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a tough game.
I thought it was incredibly disruptive against Oklahoma, right? Like, yeah. Just the point guard just wore him down. He was tired. He was so tired. I got a buddy who coaches for Oklahoma, and that's exactly what he told me after the game. He said our point guard was so tired midway through the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bigger guard, so I knew I had to pick him up early full court and just not let him get a full head of steam.
And I don't know if they changed their style because they were trying to pick and roll with him a lot.
Yeah, I think just our bigs and just the way we cover pick and roll defense, I think it kind of disrupts a lot of people's game. Because once they can't do anything off the pick and roll, I don't think they can score pretty much. It just comes to closing out and not giving up open looks after that.
So on this next photo.
I like that one.
This is Ty, hand on your shoulder. Do you remember this moment?
Yep.
You know what this photo is from?
I was at the free throw line. We're sitting at half court just hoping he gonna make it. I remember that vividly. Just us just chilling at half court and then Kyle knocked him down. So that was a good photo.
Ty talked about him whispering in your ear, oh shit, I think it's going left. Do you remember that?
he probably did. I don't even remember.
That's awesome.
That's a great photo though.
It is. And I was gonna say, what is Ty? Because Ty talks about you all the time. So the first time you came to the Bay, you know, Phoenix, and my wife was like, who do you keep up with on the team now that you're a pro and you've got this weird thing? And he said, first thing, Kihei, that's my guy. Like, I watch him like so closely. So what has your relationship with him been like since he left?
It hasn't wavered one bit. I mean, obviously, we're not on the same team anymore and we're doing our separate things, but we keep in contact. We talk often about games, off the court, on the court. Just funny stuff. That's my brother, and that's just the relationship we have now, and that's something we're gonna have forever.
So when he was on our podcast, he said he never threw the ball at you in practice.
No, he definitely did.
He said, no, no, that was a miss. I never threw the ball at Kia in practice. I would never do that. And then Isaiah came on and said, bullshit, you totally did that. That's awesome. Well, Mark went to take a break for a minute, but he'll get a kick out of that one. All right, this next one. This is in the third floor after the championship. Do you remember this, you guys? I mean, I was behind. I think me and Dev were behind you. I just like, I'm going to take this picture and show you at some point. This is
– No, that's a good one. That's Tank. That's Derek Thorne's father, the one that was at Boston College.
Uh-huh.
I grew up playing with him. Is that my mom or is that Auntie Sandra? I think that's my aunt or my mom. I can't tell. They look so much alike. And then my dad – Uncle Corey, and that's Auntie Kim right there in the middle. But that's just I had a lot of people come into to that game and those two games. So, I mean, it meant a lot having all those people in the stands, knowing they were rooting for me.
And what was that like for you, Mel? We talked a little bit about it, but that whole weekend, that whole experience. I mean, thoughts, dreams,
that's
hopes
a dream come true as a. As a player and a fan, I enjoy it. Probably one of the best times of my life, man. I really had a great time.
And then comparing, obviously, high school, you go to college, very first season in college, and it's this one. Like, did you guys talk about that as a conversation? Like, where do we go from here? We were joking, like, he ain't just one and done, bro. Just go to the NBA. It's like, there's nothing else for you to do. What did you guys talk about when all was said and done that night? You know, this was like, I think I took this at like 4 in the morning.
I know. We were up so late. I think we were just thinking high. I mean, just reflecting on the game probably and just appreciating each other's company. But, I don't even remember.
It was a lot of, not on his part, but on the family's part. There was probably a lot of drinking and what's the game we play?
We were playing left, right, center.
Left, right, center.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And I was going to say
our family, but the other players on the teams, their families.
Yeah, the card games. And I was going to say the next day everybody goes, did you go back to Charlottesville right after this? Yeah, you did. Right, Malik, where did you go? Did you go? You went back to LA or did you go to Charlottesville as well?
No, we went home.
Okay. We went home. And how was that, the basking in the championship, going back to regular life? Was that difficult?
It was real difficult. It was real difficult. And I had to go from that to going to like his brother's game, 9-year-old AAU games in the summer. But it was fun, man. It was fun.
So how did your little brothers take all this in? Like, it's hard to appreciate it at that age, I know, but did they understand what was happening?
I think Nalu a little bit. Nalu's the middle one. He's into basketball now, so I think he kind of understood it, and he took it in a little bit, but Shaka for sure was just he was just glad he was away from school and he didn't have to do homework.
The first round he slept through, if you remember. First round, but the Purdue game, right?
Uh-huh.
Before that, I think was the Central Florida Duke game, maybe.
Right, right.
And Shaka slept through both games.
That's great. Yeah. I remember my niece and nephew were playing with him, and he was like, "Oh, I don't want to go to Kihei's game day. I want to stay in the arcade." Remember that when we were at, we were like, "That's hilarious."
That's him.
And then that comes to this next one.
All right.
This post. This is on the Saber. Shout out the Saber, incredible UVA fan site. But there's some trash on here. But this one, if Kihei is a starter playing 30 minutes, the ceiling for the team is like this is that thing, right? Right away, people are like, "Oh, Kihei can't play." Is this motivation for you? Like, what happens when you take over the team? Like, Ty's gone. Now it's on you. Another challenge. How did you prepare that off season?
No, I knew my responsibility was gonna obviously grow especially offensively, just because of the pieces we lost. And Dre, Tao Kai, I mean, even Jack. But yeah, I knew it was gonna expand, so I knew I had to work. And coach put the ball in my hands. He knew it was gonna be a little bit of ups and downs at times during the season. But I think I definitely grew in that aspect.
And did you guys like have a game plan in your off season workouts? Like, hey, I got to work on X, Y, and Z, or did you just work on everything like in any other off season?
I mean, I think it was kind of just the same in terms of any off season, just working on reps and working on your shot. I mean, to put the ball in the hole, I think it's more reps than anything.
Right. And you knew at that moment, I got to get my shot in. I got to get finishing the lane better because Ty's not going to be there. Kyle's not going to be there. You got to make up for all that. That's a lot of responsibility.
Yep. These losses. I think every year you kind of just have to progress. So, yeah, definitely in those aspects.
And then this is this season. Yep. This is in the Mohegan Sun, you and Remy. That was so cool. I don't think people really knew how tight y'all were when you win this game. You were kind of hurt that game, right? So, but you powered through it. But that matchup was incredible. Like, it was for you, Malik. How was that? I mean, his dad was right there. Y'all have been friends forever.
Me, Sam, and Sharon and Marianne hung out all weekend. We were we had a good time. We had dinner. You know, when those guys go back with their team, we would have dinner together. You know, walk around the casino and stuff, gamble a little bit. So. It's just like being at home. It was nice to have them there on the road, and it was really cool to see two guys who were like best friends growing up, and they're living their dream out playing against each other on TV.
at the highest level. Yeah. That one floater he hit and towards the end of the game was crazy though. You know what I'm talking about?
Nah, he played a great game.
He
really scored so well for sure. Yeah,
he was tough that game. He was tough all season, I guess. I was going to say, how do you keep up with his games? Because, you know, Pac-12.
No, yeah, they're definitely at different times of the day. And I definitely check in with my dad. We're always talking about each other, their games. And we have another friend named Mike. He plays at Eastern Washington. So we're always trying to keep up with each other's games just because we can't always watch them. But I definitely watch the highlights for games. At all times, if I can't catch the full game. And I watch
all their games as well because they're on the West Coast. So I kind of keep them filled in as much as possible.
Yep.
I was going to say the L.A. basketball culture has a different kind of cult following as well. Like it has in its own little fraternity as such. Do you guys feel that?
A little bit. I think so. I mean, a lot of people try to say where the best basketball players come from.
Who says that?
a lot of people try to claim that the best basketball players come out of their cities.
Hey,
he's not saying that they say they come out of I'm LA. And everybody claims they're the best.
I got you. I was teasing.
No, like I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time out here that it's LA. But you played Oakland Soldiers, right? So you know the Bay as well.
Yeah. Like, there's definitely a lot of talent out here on the West Coast for sure.
So what was that like for you when you were coming up to the Bay for games, and like how was that journey for you as an AAU dad?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I was just saying, how was that journey for you as an AAU dad? Like, what was the choice for you to become, you know, you said Oakland Soldiers was the path for Kihei. How did that decision come down?
Well, originally he played for LA Rockfish. Mm-hmm. You know, he played for them from 8th grade to 11th grade and then 10th grade, I guess. And then, you know, he did well with them. He had, you know, he had the UCA Davis offer with them. But then a lot of people were saying, like, oh, he does well, but can he do it against better competition? And so wasn't my choice for him to go to the Soldiers. I told him he's fine where he's at. It was his choice because everybody doubted him. So he's like, well, I got to go play against the best. Yeah. So that's what he did. It wasn't really my choice.
And then where you got really noticed was what Peach Jam, right? That was the big.
Yeah, that was a big tournament. Where good run. I kind of had a good stretch of games. But, yeah. it was Oakland Soldiers wasn't the first choice. I mean, we have Cal Supreme right here in our backyard, right here in LA. So we kind of just had to get on a team where I could fit in.
I was going to say, now that it's, you know, COVID-19 has stopped everything, what are your thoughts on the kids? What is your advice to the kids now that don't have an opportunity to go to an event to get noticed? What would be your advice to those kids?
Stay in the gym.
Yeah, stay in the gym for sure. I mean, you don't know when this stuff is going to get released and when you're going to be able to go out and play games and if people are even going to be allowed to watch. So I know it's hard, and I know it ruined a lot of people's seasons and people's summers. So it's not much you can do besides stay in the gym for real.
And then this next photo. You giving a screen, do you remember?
Yeah, that's the Virginia Tech game, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And then,
oh, that's the shot.
This is walk us through this play. Did you? I mean, you've done it a bunch of times, but it never gets old for me. So I'd love to hear you walk us through this.
No, yeah, I mean, it was tie game with a couple seconds left. I just try to make a play. I kind of knew he was kind of just going to play the drive. So I kind of just snatched back and I shot the jumper. Luckily it went in.
Was that the plan? Move. Yeah. Was that the plan? Were you like, all right, I'm going to get him with this. Like, did you think about this?
I kind of knew I was going to snatch it back. Just the way he was playing me. And I used the screen. They didn't really show. So he was already behind me a little bit. So, yeah, I got him with it.
That's a real tough move because you're going from left to right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so a lot of people making that right to left is a little bit easier in practicing going right to left more if you're a righty. But as a righty, going left to right is.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, T-Dubs.
I was going to say, obviously, coming from the West Coast, you don't know about the Virginia Tech thing, right? And for you to do that on that stage, like – but, you know, second year, you do kind of get it. But does that cross your mind? Like, yeah, on Tech too? Or
A little bit. I mean, I know a lot of the students. I know they keep up with the rivalry and people who are from Virginia. Yeah. They know about the rivalry. I don't even know what the rivalry is called. I forget. But, yeah, I mean, to do it on them, they're our rivals. So to see the crowd when I go back and watch the videos and people putting their hands on their heads and yeah. Their faces are in awe. Pretty cool to see.
Do you remember the year before the game against Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech?
At Virginia Tech, I played terrible.
So I've never seen – I was sitting right behind the bench, and I had gone down there with a couple of my friends, and I have never seen Bennett get that angry with a player at halftime.
He was furious.
He ran on the court after you and got in your face.
Yeah.
You had just had a turnover right before halftime. Somehow you got the ball and the ball was in. Somebody got a rebound and gave it to you, or you got the rebound and you tried to kick the ball up court to a teammate with like three, four seconds left. Yeah. Somebody from Virginia Tech stepped in, stole it, took a shot and hit a two or a three, whatever it was.
It was a layup. Yep.
Whatever. And Bennett came on the court. First time I've ever seen that. So at one point during the beginning of the season, he's on the court giving you five. And then – and or later in the season, like midway at Virginia Tech in like a huge game, he lit lights into you.
No, he lit me up in the locker room too. It wasn't even just right there. He lit me up again in the locker room.
What did he say?
Nothing, just telling me I got to be better, do better, just pick it up pretty much. But yeah, he was just.
And then I don't know if you started the second half or not.
I definitely
in that game.
Did not.
Right. I don't remember you starting.
You're like, no. So,
how did that affect your confidence anyway?
I mean, obviously, you get down on yourself. But hey, there's nothing you can do. Just be ready when your number's called and just try to bring energy to the game. I mean, it was still a close game. I mean, we pulled it out. Braxton came in and he gave us great minutes and he hit some big shots too that game. So.
So did that cross your mind when you hit this game winner on it, like how far you come in one season?
No, yeah. I remember going into the game just thinking, like, I played terrible this game. So I remember I had to play better for sure.
You sure did. You checked that big shot.
You checked that one off. Yeah. And then I threw this one in here. We talked about it earlier. Kihei Clark is the second player with Filipino roots to capture NCAA men's basketball title. You said you just did something with him. But how often does this stuff bubble up for you? Just like seeing stuff like stat. Like I never hear it personally. Looking at Virginia, like Virginia never talks about, this is our first Asian Filipino point guard, whatever, first of anything. So like when stuff like this comes out, I think it's really cool. But where are you?
No, yeah, I remember seeing something like that. I forget the guy's name. I believe he went to UCLA. The first Filipino player to capture.
Townsend, I think his name.
It's pretty.
It's like 75, I believe.
It's pretty cool to just be mentioned with those names and just being able to represent the culture.
And then one more photo, one more shot of that one, and then here, another big play from last year and the pass that you made to make this happen. Nobody really talks about the pass you had to Tomas. This is at UNC for those watching. Walk us through that play.
The possession before, Tomas fouled a 3-point shooter. And we were up 3, I believe, or up 2. He fouled him, and I know he was – No, Tomas fouled him. He was upset. He was furious at himself. But hey, we got the ball and I kind of just try to make a play again. They gave up the baseline, and I mean Tomas was hitting shots all night. And he was from when he put the braids on, he was hitting everything.
He was hitting everything.
So I just gave him the ball and he made the play himself. He took a 1 dribble pull up, sidestepped the defender, and he knocked down the shot. So credit to him.
No, but the pass that you made, drawing him in and kicking it out, was like underrated. No one ever talks about that. We'll put the clip with this next one. This is you against Cole Anthony. You played him in high school as well, right? Like, what is your history with running up against him?
I played him twice in the EYBL. We played him one in the regular season, and then we played him in Peach Jam. He dismantled us in the regular season. I just remember him dunking on our big guy. We tried to throw on a 2-2 press, and he, like, leaked out or something and dunked on our big. That's the only thing I remember from the regular season. And we got him in Peach Jam. So that's the one of the two things I remember. But this game was at Virginia, I believe, correct? And then it was a good game for sure.
Did you circle that one on the calendar in terms of like, oh, I'm going to see Cole Anthony again? Or is that a player? Because like, he's like the reverse, right? He gets all the hype and all the love versus you. And you've already gone up against him and head-to-head with him. Was that like part of the motivation?
No, definitely motivated to play against guys like this. I mean, this is what you play for. This is what you play in the ACC for. I remember Ty's tweet, and I remember him telling me don't – he said something like, don't let me down or something like that. Because I remember what he tweeted, but, it was definitely a good game for sure.
For the record, he said you're the best point guard in the ACC.
Right.
And then people responded back, are you crazy? It's Cole Anthony's in the ACC. And he said, I stand by what I said.
But, and then I think he tweeted, it was like that game's coming up in like a week or something like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
It's awesome. I love that. And then
I got to find out what happened from Ty's coach, because Cole Anthony and Ty play on the same AAU team. They both play for PSA Cardinals. Right. So I want to find out if Ty's coach said anything to Ty after he made that comment.
I'm sure he heard it. And here's this next one, the LA connection, and then another Asian descent, Johnny Duzang. What do you like? Did you play with him? How well did you know him?
I played with his brother a little bit more, just because he was older than me. So I kind of played up and I played more with his brother. Johnny was a year younger than me, but no, we definitely had ties for each other. And I think he should have came to Virginia. I think he would have been a good fit. I mean, he really shoots the ball well. But hey,
did you talk to him about it at all? Did you make a pitch to him, or did you just let him?
No, a little bit here and there, but I think his mind was set on Big Blue Nation.
So now he's back home, UCLA. Hopefully we play him.
No, yeah, for sure. No, I've seen him a couple times out here in LA working out and stuff. So we definitely talked a little bit.
That's pretty awesome. And then a little change of pace. Uh-huh. Nike Dunk Champ Colors Pack that came out. Did you cop?
I tried. I got a plug. I got a plug trying to get me them. My aunt is my plug. Nice. but no, definitely trying to get them. I saw them. Those are pretty dope.
Ty's comment was, if they give that to the next year's team and not the actual championship team, it's going to be a problem. So, you know, his reaction was that.
Yeah, he's always saying that.
He's like, there's going to be a series. I'm going to have a talk with somebody. And then while we're on that topic, all right, I was just going to go down this release calendar here for a little bit and see any of these catch your eye. I think you're somewhat of a sneakerhead.
Oh.
You got these tie-dye ones. You've got the Jordan 11, the white-red bottom, Concords basically with the red bottom, the all-red 14s coming. You got the green 13s. And then these Dior ones, which are $2,000. So,
I was gonna say the ones for $190 are expensive.
I like the Lowe's better. I think
the Lowe's are fire, man. They're $2,000. Look at that retail price.
You know what that resale price is gonna be?
It can't be much higher than that, no.
Nah, it's gonna be out the roof.
You think it'd be like a $10,000 shoe? Yeah, it'd be like a.
Definitely. Yeah.
And then. Well, so what is your favorite sneaker to hoop in? We see you with the Kobe's on all the time.
Kobe's. I think Kobe's and Kyrie's are probably my favorite. I like Kyrie's, but I think Kobe's will always be my favorite. I think.
And then on that note, with the Kobe piece and the terrible news that you get with Kobe passing, what was that like for you as an LA native, a Lakers fan, hearing that, seeing that?
It was hard. It was tough. I mean, he was my GOAT just growing up, watching him, just being in L.A. It was definitely tough to hear that news. And it's sad. So thoughts and prayers out to his family.
Wait, so that was after the Wake Forest game. Did everybody kind of find out at the same time? Because I remember that's when I heard it. I was like, what? I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I found out after the game in the stands. I was visiting with my family. That's when I found out.
And what are you guys are in LA now? Is there still murals everywhere? Do you still feel like Nipsey and Kobe, LA icons, both gone? And
pretty much, yeah. No, they're still out there. They're still
love and Kobe's daughter. There's a lot of Kobe's daughters. Yeah.
That's crazy. 2020, not a good year, man. This has been a hell of a year.
Crazy year.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mark?
I want to go back to the beginning of your entry into UVA. Kie, what was it like? Who greeted you first of the older players?
Older players. Greeted me like in person or just like?
Yeah, in person and said, hey, what's up? How are you? You're part of our family now.
Probably Kyle. And during the summer, I mean, I spent a lot of time with Kyle just because, I mean, he was open. A lot of the other guys didn't really talk to me. So I was over their house a lot. I mean, I played Fortnite with them.
With Kyle and Grant?
Grant. And we had the same class together too. So I kind of just, we was just always together. And then I think Ty, he hit me for a workout to go work out with Damon. And after that, I mean, we kind of just.
When was that?
I don't remember.
But you said they didn't talk to you in the beginning when you first got there? No. So what did you do to earn their respect?
I think it was morely on the court, I think, and just basketball-wise. Those guys, they really stayed. They stayed after the shoot. I mean, I'd jump in there once. Sometimes I'd ask to jump in there once. So it'd be me, Kyle, and Dre. I mean, me, Ty, and Dre after. Just us three, really, just after practice. And after the workouts, just playing ones and going to the workouts with Damon. So I think that's kind of when it clicked.
Yeah. And what were each of your expectations going into your first year?
I mean, my expectations, I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I kind of just wanted to come in. I didn't know if I was going to play 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 minutes. I kind of just wanted to contribute, you know, and just be ready when my number's called and just make the most of my time. Ty hit me. He texted me in the summer. He was like, there's an opportunity for you to play. We need a guard. And he kind of just gave me some encouraging words. So just going into me, I just wanted to try to compete for a spot.
So he hit you by text, but he wouldn't hang out with you?
No, it was early, like near my summertime. But yeah, going into me, I didn't really.
Malik, what were your expectations, Malik?
I was just hoping he'd play. You know, I know he's gonna work hard. And
yeah.
I didn't know what, you never know what coaches have in mind or you know, what rotations are. I just wanted him to get in a good place where he got a fair shot, and I knew he would compete and get what he deserved. So
when Bennett first told you were gonna play, right? What was the phone call like home?
We were at dinner, eating sushi down the street from the house. He called me and I committed on the spot. I didn't even take a visit or anything like that. So it was pretty cool.
Well, not even that, but when you first found out you were going to play, get playing time and start your first year.
It was the tournament in Atlantis. It was the championship game against Wisconsin. He was like, we're going to start Kihei, Kyle, Ty, Dre, and then I think he said Jack. And they were like, Kihei's going to start on what's his name? What's the point guard's name from Wisconsin?
Not Kobe. I can't think. Not Davidson.
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now.
But the guard, that was my assignment. And
Trice.
I started on him, and I think he scored like 2 buckets or something like that. So I think that's where I
started. How much heads up did you get on the starting nod?
What do you mean?
Like how did you have time to tell your dad you're gonna start tonight? Or?
I think I told him. I think I told him before the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what were your thoughts on that? Are you excited? Was it?
Absolutely.
Oh, I was ecstatic.
Yeah. What was your mom? I don't know what your mother was doing.
I didn't text my mom. I texted him.
He was laughing and whooping it up, Mark.
That's awesome.
It was very loud in here.
In case I forget, you got to give her a big hug from me. Definitely. Well,
if I had her number, she would have been on here, by the way. No, it's all good. Well, we obviously we appreciate you taking so much of your time at playing COD for us.
Yeah, it's such a great story. It's an awesome story.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, hero status at the gate, like incredible. Forget the championship stuff. Just in general, you representing all of those things we talked about. It means it's just like in the way you carry yourself and gotten to know you guys. It's like it's such an honor and such a privilege to know you guys, man. Appreciate you.
One thing that's pretty good about being at Virginia that people don't know about is just the camaraderie. And you know, unless you know somebody that goes there, I mean, people like Mark and the other parents that are there at Virginia really makes the transition for things easy.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people around you and you have a lot of support when you go there.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Sean Singletary talked about wanting to reach out and hit you up, and the alumni base, they all want to help and they all want to be a part and they all want, you know, obviously they don't want to like be overbearing, but everybody has such a giving nature here. It's really cool.
Yeah.
In terms of that.
Last question for me. Next year, do you follow Joe Lunardi and some of those guys from ESPN? Have you seen the article where he said you guys are ranked fourth coming into next season? Where he predicts you guys fourth and maybe even better?
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't follow them, but yeah, I see it. I've seen it.
Yeah, I read the article, and it's a pretty good article, right? But a lot of unknowns. Never mind about unknown about the season, but if there is a season, you've got three or four guys coming in that can really play. You've got a good returning class.
Sam
Hauser who can play, yeah. Right? Are you looking at, or do you guys feel like you guys are like the best team in the country? Do you feel like you have your eye on another team that Nova's supposed to be really good?
I mean, you always hear teams are supposed to be good, but when it's time to step on a court, I just feel like our coaching staff puts us in a great position to win and puts us in the best position to win that mm-hmm. I don't see us losing that many games, you know what I mean? And I don't see a single team that's just in a flat-out game. So
I mean, I was going to say, with the way last year ended, you guys are on such a win streak, and 2 years in a row, a win streak now. What were your thoughts heading in? Confidence super high, but you logged a lot of minutes. Were there some tired legs for you, or were you like, man, I can't wait for some help, or were you like, I'm straight, this is good?
No, I mean, you definitely feel it after games and after practices. I definitely try to get a lot of rest, and the coaching staff they knew that I've logged a lot of minutes. They cut down my practice time and what I did in practice certain times. I mean, logging a lot of minutes, it was nothing wrong with me. I mean, I love to play and just trying to help the team win in any way possible. So if I had to play 40, I play 40. But hey, I mean, a little rest would help. But whatever we got to do to win, that's what I'm down here to do.
I got to stop saying last question, because every time I say it, I ask like three or four more. What's your recovery like after playing 38 minutes a game?
It's kind of terrible.
No, you have that day off after a game.
But immediately after, right? You've got the ice bath, you've got massages, you've got lifting.
We got lift right after games.
Exactly.
But
and the massage.
Yeah, that's the day after, though. Right after the game, we go straight to the lift. We got a little post game talk, and then straight to the weight room. MC, he's the best in the business. I mean,
MC meaning Mike Curtis, just for all the audience.
He's the best in the business. I mean, he knew I logged a lot of minutes, so he would cut down my reps or change exercises to where it caters what I needed to do. If it's more stretching, then I'd do more stretching. But I'd still do a little upper body. But then definitely get in the cold tank afterwards.
Have you felt
how long are you in the cold tank?
I stay 20 at the time. 20 minutes in the cold and then stay a couple minutes in the hot.
I was going to say, have you felt a difference from all of that? Like all those little things that Mike Curtis has implemented?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell. And your body, you can feel it in your body after you do certain stuff for sure.
And I was going to say, Mala, have you been able to tell the difference in Kihei in terms of
– he tells better than me, because every time he comes home, he gets a little stronger, a little bigger, and bumping on me and hitting on me. And I'm like, I'm not no little kid anymore. So, yeah, I can definitely tell.
That's awesome.
What's your diet like after games? What are you eating?
We sometimes have post-game meals. It's whatever the team caters, but if I'm not eating that, I'll go eat at like a restaurant out there or something like that. But definitely got to eat healthy.
Are you eating? I don't know, Chipotle after games.
Sometimes
I know they have the shakes for you, right?
Yeah,
they have those.
Name on it.
They cater Chipotle. I get tired of that sometimes, so I'll go eat somewhere else. But there's a lot of good food places out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's your favorite? What do you miss now that in the off season? What are you missing from Charlottesville?
This from Charlottesville? I don't even know.
Raising Cane's?
Mary Bet, that's my go-to breakfast spot. Mary Bet. Me and Momney, we'd be there almost every day. I think we ate there like 5 times in a row 1 week.
Malik, what's your favorite spot to go to when you go to Charlottesville?
Oh man, I like all the spots he takes me to, but I'm a big Mel's guy. I like southern cooking, and Mel's got the best fried chicken around.
What about in Hawaii? Where do you guys go to eat Kihei Cafe. I told you that one. That's my favorite place, Kihei Cafe on Kihei Road in Maui. But where do you guys go to when you go to Hawaii? When
you go back to Hawaii, we're generally on the Big Island.
Yeah. Okay.
And we don't eat out too much because a lot of her family, they're all into cooking and everything. So we eat a lot more, a lot of home cooked meals. But when we're there, I like it's a place called Blaine's Drive-In.
Gravy cheeseburger.
One of the Loco best. Moco.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's fire. I love Hawaii. Mahi mahi. Oh, man. I make my mouth water. anything else, Mark? Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. Looking forward to see you, Malik, when you come through. Hopefully you come into the UVA. Is it Nova?
Yep. I'm going to be there.
At the Garden. You know you got a spot to stay if you want to come uptown to Harlem.
I get there, I'm going to call you.
Yeah, I'm going to take you to some real good soul food spots in New York.
Okay.
You can rest assured.
We have L.A. too. Hopefully that happens. That's when is that? Thanksgiving?
I think it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving tournament, yep.
All right. If it is a season, we're going to be seeing a lot of you in person.
Yeah, for sure.
Both you guys. So always awesome to see you guys. Don't forget, give your moms and a hug for me.
Yep, will do.
You did my best. And the rest of the family. Looking forward to seeing you guys soon. Have a great summer. Thanks much for joining us. You guys were awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
Jerome off the glass.